got to talk about this. So very quickly, Reverend Mary, can you give us a quick update on what's happening with Port Covington?
Yeah, so let me just frame it on what has happened within the last 2 weeks. We know that about 2 weeks ago at one of the work group hearings, and this one was specifically on affordable housing, that it was a very contentious gathering at City Hall that happened before the Taxation and Finance Committee, which is led by Councilman Carl Stokes. At that point in time, Councilman Stokes urged community leaders to sit down at the table of negotiation with Sagamore Development Under Armour. I'm framing it now as Sagamore right. Development Under Armour because let me just say that prior to this week, Under Armour has gotten a pass.
Right. Oh, yeah, it has been.
They've gotten a pass on being linked as being one and the same. Now that they are moving in a certain direction, Under Armour has moved to the forefront. A group of community leaders went into these negotiations with Sagamore Development Under Armour in good faith.
Okay.
As was requested by Councilman Carl Stokes. He was there for several portions of and many days of the negotiations. They started out contentious. We understood that everybody was not going to get what they wanted to get, but that we could negotiate towards some agreements. The areas of concern, obviously, everybody's heard about them, were number one, not just affordable housing,
right,
but inclusionary housing.
Right.
They sound the same,
right,
but they're not necessarily the same. We can unpack that a little later if
right,
you'd like.
Right, yeah.
We wanted to talk about some enforceable commitments on local hiring. Mm-hmm. The initial ask was 51% of all worker hours at Port Covington be occupied by Baltimore residents. We talked about the fact that we wanted to hold education harmless.
Right.
As you know, this $660 million TIF essentially says that the developer is excused from the property tax responsibilities for basically two generations.
Right.
In the meantime, as the property values rise, the state can then assess that rise against what they allocate for Baltimore City Public Schools.
Right.
And currently, we got about 83,000 kids in Baltimore City Public Schools. So we're talking about funding for about two generations of Baltimore City students. We talked about some things like good jobs and fair wages.
Right.
And one of the historic things about this particular negotiation was it was one of the first times when organized labor was at the table and not talking specifically about union jobs.
Okay.
They were
okay.
talking about jobs,
right.
career-changing jobs for the entire citizenry of Baltimore and to include the retail and the service workers at Port Covington, because somebody's got to clean those hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to ring up your purchases. Somebody's got to serve your food.
Someone's got to keep it going every day.
Exactly.
Mike, I want to turn to you because when Reverend Mary just talked about Under Armour, because the CEO, Kevin Plank, did a whole one-page piece in the Baltimore Sun urging support for Port Covington. He's talking about investing more than $100 million in recreation centers, job training, schools, and parks. Well, to most people, these sound like good things. Like, why wouldn't you want more parks? Why wouldn't you want more recreational areas? Let's talk about what's beneath that.
Yeah, so I think it's back to the earlier conversation of both and not either or, right?
Okay.
I mean, the Plank letter was an interesting letter. I really want to lift up some of the things that jumped out at me. He talked about forks in the road. He talked about the vision, and he talked about doing everything in our, or him doing, he said it's an honor to do everything in our power. And I think those are the areas that we have to look at, again, systemically, because what this process showed was that we have some real issues related to our policy and our systems and our culture of leadership practice. Like, no one got everything they wanted out of this deal. No, not even close.
Right.
And I don't think we're any closer to ever getting a regional vision and deal done until we start to fix some of those problems. And I'm going to suggest that we all have a huge book club in the Baltimore region. There's a book that is seminal that needs to be read. It's called Equity, Community, and Growth.
Okay.
It's 300 pages of mixed methods, qualitative and quantitative econometric data presented really neatly. And it really starts to look at the question, in the different ways that regions have come together. They've looked at the political imbalances, the inequity-driven inequality and jobs, and said, when we treat those things separately, then we fail. And we want to look at 300 cities across the country where there's actually growth and there's reduction in poverty. See, we have to have that both-end conversation.
Right.
And if we do that, then we can then begin to vet how we've all behaved in this process and how we can do better in the future and how we can get the outcomes that we want to see. Because I think people forget, Under Armour's board did not sign off on this.
Right. Okay.
Right?
See, yeah.
They said, we don't do, that's not what we do.
Right.
We build.
Because he's writing the check himself,
he wrote
right?
the check himself,
okay.
right? And so we tend to forget, you know, wealthy people get to do that, but wealthy people also get to be wrong and have great risk. And
right.
I was around on Forest City Ratner's deal in New York. That was a $4 billion deal for folks that was the largest publicly traded company in the country, 1,800 employees that have been doing this day in and day out for 20 years, and they got their butts handed to them.
Right.
On a, and so what we have to say is, you know, what how can we solve for the problems to come? Because whatever comes out of this, there are going to be a lot of challenges that those communities, the city itself and the communities facing sharing the waterfront are going to have to solve for. So my attention is going to be there, as well as asking the larger systemic questions of, you know, how did Build behave? How did Port 3 behave? How did the pastors in the faith community behave? How did the right and say, and how do we have a common shared vision that we don't currently see that allows that front port vision that Plank put out there to be broader and bigger, and that we do have shared risk and shared upside and clearly defined boundaries? Because right now, the way we came and negotiated this was not the optimal way.
Now, Reverend Murray, it's just trying to get people into this both and. Because if you're dealing with the everyday stress mm-hmm. of living in Baltimore mm-hmm. City, Port Covington is not something that's on your top five things you're
mm-hmm.
worrying about.
You're right.
So how do we make it both and?
Well, first.
And then also, I'm going to cut you off to ask you, in that, could you also very quickly tell us about the protest that's happening today? I will do that.
So when we look at both end, everyone agreed that Port Covington is a visionary project. From financial analysts to developers, everyone, no one disputed the fact that Port Covington is a visionary project that could do a lot for the city of Baltimore. But it was an unprecedented ask mm-hmm. for money. So the tone of the negotiations went from negotiations to ultimatums over the course of 2 weeks. On the day that I was at doing a funeral, and also Councilman Stokes was not there in the room that particular day, my colleagues came back and said that the tone of the discussion went from conciliatory and negotiable to ultimatums.
Oh, wow, okay.
And so what happened was that was not the good faith intention that we were sent into the room with. So there may be a narrative out there that a huge group of people walked away from negotiations. That's not true.
That's not true.
We walked
okay.
away from ultimatums, and there are more questions than answers about what the city and Sagamore Under Armour are in the press saying they're going to sign off on today. Why are we protesting?
Today at 4 o'clock, and that's at the Baltimore War Memorial Building.
Today at 4 o'clock at the War Memorial Plaza,
okay.
there will be a massive rally, and we're asking all of the citizens of Baltimore who still have some unanswered questions to show up and then go inside to the hearing. Whatever they're signing off on, does it hold education harmless for the 83,000 students in the Baltimore City Public School System? That hasn't been answered. Are we going to have inclusionary affordable housing that addresses the largest portion of people who need housing? And those are people who are at 30% of the average median income. What happened to the profit sharing discussion? And will there be jobs with living wages and then prevailing wages for the generations of those who are going to handle the construction of Port Covington? Because remember, this is about 25 years in totality with construction. So does it raise the quality, what they're signing off on, does it raise the quality of life
okay.
In the city of Baltimore? Those questions haven't been answered, and we are demanding they be answered before anything be signed off on, and that's why we're urging everyone
to come
to
out
be
today
there
at 4 o'clock
this afternoon.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Reverend Brian Murray, Bridge, Maryland co-chair and pastor at New Covington Community United Church of Christ. Thank you so much for staying with us, Mike Scott. We really do appreciate it. Chief Equity Officer and co-founder of Equity Matters. The protest will take place today at 4 p.m. at the Baltimore War Memorial Plaza and is organized by Build Up Baltimore. Visit us online at steinershow.org and take a listen to some of our podcasts. Stay with us after the break for our latest edition of Sound Bites. This has been Dr. K in for Mark Steiner. Go forward and find a way to change the world. It's got to start somewhere. Why not with you? Thank you.